It's coming season. Ooh, yeah, yeah. No, it's coming season. No, it's coming season. It's coming season. It's coming season. No, it's coming season. Coming season. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Shout out to my boy Sherwood Brown for that intro, man. Me and Sherwood go back at least, I don't know, feels like at least 17, 18 years. He is a well-recognized music producer, singer, just, you know, killing it in the music game. And I'm glad he blessed our podcast with this track. So thank you, Sherwood. If y'all like it, please, you know, drop a comment, send us a note. Full song coming soon. But anyway, welcome to the Cover Season Podcast. This is your boy, Rontel Beatty. I'm one of the co-hosts, one of the co-founders, husband, father, entrepreneur, pit master, avid reader, traveler. What am I leaving out? Average golfer. I'll stop there. But I'm me. I like to reintroduce myself to those of you that haven't heard from me in a while, and for those who have never met or heard me on the podcast before, it's a pleasure to finally connect with you. I'm joined by my lovely wife and co-host, the hostess with the mostest, and those beautiful goddess braids, Ebony. You know, you feel free to throw a couple adjectives in there for yourself.
Hi, I'm Ebony. We're back. I'm excited to be back. It's been a while. Yeah, so I'm Ebony. I am Rontel's wife. I am a mom of two boys, two toddlers. I am entrepreneur, mompreneur, lover of sweat, lover of comfort. I don't know.
Yeah.
Your favorite tomboy?
My favorite chef. My favorite everything. So it's a pleasure to be back on here with you in 2024. I think the last time we recorded must have been, I don't know, was it 2021? I'm not sure.
I feel like it was 2020. I feel like it was 2020 because that was when Bravo was born.
All right, so yeah, maybe it's longer than I thought, but all the reason to be back. So I want to touch on this. I don't want to spend too much time, though, but I do think that for folks that have been with us for a while, you know, they kind of want to know where we went, what happened, why did you stop recording? I mean, I have my own take on why I think we stopped, but, you know, I want to get your thoughts first. You know, can you explain hiatus? Like, what do you think kept us from the microphone?
Honestly, I feel like, I mean, obviously the pandemic was a huge thing. And then having a newborn during the pandemic, and then I think during that time we were buying a new house too. We were under contract for a new house and like moving. So just like a whole bunch of stuff, not necessarily things that should have stopped us, I guess. Like we could have found the time, but I think we just let everything kind of get to us. And that was kind of why we stopped. We had every intention of not stopping though. I remember we sat down multiple times, like we're doing it, we're going to go for it, but it was just a lot.
It was. I think I agree with everything you said. Life kind of happened with the pandemic and, you know, having a baby, building a house. Like there was a lot of competing responsibilities and things that were going on. And it felt like the podcast was a straw that was breaking the camel's back. One, because I think I explained in previous episodes that, you know, I'm no sound engineer. I'm not a tech guy.
And yeah. He was frustrated.
I was frustrated every time we put up an episode because I would record and, you know, I'm trying to edit and I'm trying to like put together the social media graphics and then I'm trying to get it uploaded. And I was always running into technical glitches each and every week, spending hours to do something that shouldn't take 5 to 10 minutes. And then just with all that we had going on, I was like, I'm kind of done with this. There's been a lot of advancements made in the podcast world since then. There's a lot of new software out there that makes things easier. Not only that, I mean, we're out of the pandemic now. Mm-hmm. Life has gotten easier in terms of our work situation. Our parenting situation, and you know, we'll dive into that in a little bit. But all that to say, we're just happy to be back. And you know, the topic of this particular podcast is grow together or grow apart. And I know if you think about your life, the people that are closest to you, and maybe even like your extended friends, extended families, you know, everyone has stories of people that they can say grew together over the last few years or grew apart as a result of what was going on. And we made the conscious decision and the conscious effort to grow together. Yeah. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about, you know, how we grew as individuals, how we grew as a couple, how we grew as a family, and why that is a testing ground for life. You know, I mean, if you got through COVID intact, I mean, you can get through anything, in my opinion. So I guess I'll start by asking you this question, Eb. Like, if you think about the last 3 years, you know, which is now through maybe last three and a half years, which is now through when like our office is closed and we kind of got introduced to this whole remote work thing and life changed. What are some of the ways in which you think you've grown?
Oh, I think that's a good question. I think, well, naturally, I went from being a mother of one to a mother of two little boys.
That's growth.
That is growth.
That's major growth.
So like in the mom world, just kind of developing routines and systems. Because at first, I think it was kind of just winging it. Like naturally, my California being is just like, oh, like let's go with the flow. It'll work out. We're fine. Like, but
I'm making a note. Routines and systems. I want to come back to that later. Keep going.
I don't know if I want to come back to that. No, but it, you know, I think having you know, your Southern family roots, kind of with the more structure side, I'll say, I feel like, you know, just help me in my growth of like, okay, it's okay to be, you know, like go with the flow mindset and just like happy and go lucky, whatever. But you also, when you have kids, you need more of a, need more structure and need more systems in place. It not only helps them, but it helps make our lives easier as well. And kids love structure. I mean, like they, you know, at this point, they're like clockwork. They know their lunchtime, they know their bedtime, they know, you know, most days. So I think also just personally, just wanting to be more consistent, like, you know, not going crazy with the self-help books, but just like doing enough to where like, because you can only read so much until you're just like stagnant, like, okay.
But you've kind of been going crazy, but I'll let you head out.
But I'm actually taking the steps now and not just like consuming, like not, okay, I know what I need to do, but not I'm actively doing it. And so I think that like over the past couple of years, that's kind of been my internal struggle, like becoming a new mom, like knowing that like I still want to do stuff. So when that time comes, like, you know, going for it. And not just being like one day when they're older, this, you know, like that. I think it's just like, no, now's the time. That's where I feel like my growth is now. And then, so I would say same for you. Like, what do you feel like, you know, the past few years you've seen the most growth?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that everything you mentioned is like major growth. Like that is huge. It's almost like you're not the same person you were when we started this podcast. Definitely not the same person you were when we met, got engaged, or got married. And not in a bad way. I mean, really all that you've done is just build upon, you know, who you already were. You made yourself a stronger person, a smarter person, a wiser person, a more successful person. And going back to the title, grow together or grow apart, grown. For me, I think I've grown in a number of ways as well. I hope my answers are as impressive as yours, but I'll say.
Thank you.
I changed my mindset when it came to how I provide for my family, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic turned me into an entrepreneur. I turned into W-2s for 1099s. Ooh. And that was a scary process. It was never a goal of mine. But the pandemic created not only that opportunity, but really that mandate, because you know, back was against the wall, you know, like a lot of people, I had to figure some things out. And, you know, I started my consulting firm and started doing it full time. And, you know, here we are 3-4 years later, and, you know, life has been tremendously greater. You know, everything around us has improved, you know, from our family, our finances, you know, our lifestyle, the amount of time we can spend with each other, spend with our family, the things that we can do. You know, at this point, we have built and bought 2 houses. We've lived in California, Florida, Maryland. We've done a lot. And I think a lot of it has largely been to the financial growth that we've seen in the family, which has come through business and entrepreneurship. I didn't have a father growing up, as majority of people know, because I say it a lot. But I think if I had one, he would say that you never get paid what you're worth until you try entrepreneurship. And that's something your father told me.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yep.
And, you know, he's my dad, too.
He's your dad.
You know, but he didn't birth me. But yeah, so that was the first way in which I've grown. Like, I rewired my mind to think a little bit more like a business owner and an entrepreneur, and that has been great. I changed the way that I approached fatherhood in my marriage. So once again, not having I think, a strong male figure in my life when I grew up, just being surrounded by strong women who took care of everything, I naturally, I think, gravitated towards strong, like a woman kind of doing the things that I saw the women in my family growing up doing, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the things that, you know, you do and still do. But, you know, what I realized, I think we had this conversation a couple years back in Long Beach, is that in light of all of the advances that, you know, we've made as a society, and, you know, pursuing equality and, you know, parity in relationships, at the end of the day, the natural essence of a man is to work to provide security, and security, whether that's financial security, emotional security, physical security, mental security. Like, women, you know, a woman's number one need is security. Mm-hmm. And, you know, security. I realized that I couldn't do that if I was not being just a real alpha leader, right?
Yeah.
One day, one day I woke up and I decided I was going to stop asking you to split the decision making with me on, you know, things that weren't that important. I decided I was going to give our family a direction. I said, hey, this is the direction we're going. These are the things that I would like for our family to accomplish. This is how I think we can get there. This is what I'm going to do to ensure that we get there. This is what I'd like you to do. And this is how I would like us to work together. These are the resources I think that we'll need to do it. And you told me a few years back that that was one of the most attractive things that, you know, I'd ever said or done, just, you know, assuming a real leadership role in the family. And I found that ever since I started leading in that way, you know, things in our family structure got better, especially like raising 2 boys as well. Like, I want to raise them to be strong men that can raise strong families. And, you know, like, the first year of fatherhood was interesting, because if I could, you know, watch it on TV and just have it play back for me, I think what you would see is a man that wasn't unsure of himself, but that just did not make decisions as quickly as he could have and should have, who was not as clear about the goals that he had for his family and how to get there. And I didn't understand at the time the toll that that would have on the relationship, or I'm just putting words in your mouth, but or maybe even like the confidence that could erode from you and me, just seeing me like well, babe, what do you think we should do? Should we do this? And you looking like, you the man, figure it out. You know, it took me a couple years to figure it out.
I'm laughing because you said that it took me back to just like the days where we're like, you know, we're giving Bravo a bottle, her oldest, and like, he needs 4 ounces, or he needs, like, he's hungry, like, just trying to like be like the nurturer in the beginning. Right.
I'm sitting there like
everybody's just stressed out because we want to give him 4 ounces, we want to give him 3 ounces. It was just
with your body just in the house.
This, everybody's just butting heads with like who knows how to raise a doing child.
The same thing when we all should have been dividing the labor based upon our strengths. I'm sitting there like talking about how many ounces should go in a bottle when no, the mother is the nurturer of the family. She makes things grow. I need to focus on earning, right? I need
but
to focus
I, but on. But I think to your point, like you never really saw that family structure. Like you didn't have that, you know, growing up. So I guess you didn't really know what it would be like to be a father.
Well, boy, we've been gliding ever since. It's like, I wake up every day. I focus on what I need to focus on. I focus on, I focus on the family finances. I focus on, you know, ensuring that we have a resource we need to meet our goals. I focus on our security, all aspects of it. I focus on everyone's happiness and just, you know, those are my strengths. And then, mm-hmm. you know, the things that you want to focus on, I don't stand in your way. And then even then, I lean on you for other things, you know, business related or even aspirationally.
Operations when it comes to the family and, you know, the consulting firm. Like,
exactly.
I feel like that's my specialty is like operations. You know, I did it before we were entrepreneurs, like in my career. So doing it now. So it's just like a natural fit, I think.
Yeah. It's like, these are, I mean, the things that we experience are not unique to us. I think the overwhelming majority of married couples kind of go through them. Mm-hmm. And they present challenges because they're called gender roles, right? And it has such a negative connotation because society has led us to believe that gender roles favor one party, demean the other, when in reality, all it is people honing in on what their natural strengths, skills, talents, and abilities are.
Yeah.
And bringing those things to the table to have a full plate, a complete picture, to have all the things you need to succeed. So I guess what I can ask you is like, do you consider the way in which we operate now to be modern or, you know, a little bit more traditional gender roles or a hybrid? Like, how would you describe it?
I think aspects of it are modern, but I think...
Which ones?
What'd you say?
Which aspects?
Oh, like, for example, like... I'll say this first. Like, I think some are modern and some are traditional. So like for the traditional, like you're, you know, financial, you know, protecting provider, like that, all that stuff. Right. And I think, because I stay at home right now, and, you know, more so helping the family business, I'm like I'm not out working, W-2, I guess I'll say. So I think, you know, I just lost my train of thought, but I'll say this.
Well, no, you were basically saying that you're basically...
I got so deep. But no, but long story short, like cooking and cleaning and things like that, right? Cleaning, maybe I'll outsource it. Maybe I'll hire somebody to clean.
That's modern.
That's what I'm saying. That's the more modern. I'll do it in the house myself here and there, but yeah, I will outsource as well. I'm not going to do it 24. We're blessed to not have to do it 24/7 by ourselves. So like that's like the modern, I guess you want to call it. I think, but yeah, to my previous point, traditional is like, you know, you're doing this side. I'm like more like the nurturer side. But I will outsource if I have to. It's the modern piece of it.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I think that sounds accurate. We're traditional in the sense that, I focus on the work and the finances and all that. I go buy the groceries. I bring them home. You unpack them, cook some of them.
Or
this is where I get mine. You cook some of them, I cook some of them.
I don't want to be a shameless plug, but maybe I'll Instacart, right?
Oh God. You know what? They need to give us a fee
for Instacart. I mean, on it, like ordering everything, get all the fees.
But listen, Instacart is a hack.
It really. Listen, we need to get paid for this, okay? But no, but seriously, like I think when you're struggling and you feel like it's overwhelming, like especially having two little ones, do I want to bring them in the store every time? Like
you don't.
It's just a lot, and it can make things overwhelming. So if you can do it, outsource Instacart. They bring the groceries to you, so you took care of the health of the family, like the food. And you don't have to break your back to do it.
Yeah, it's like you're still taking care of all the traditional things, but you're doing it in a non-traditional, in a modern way. Like
in a modern world, a modern way. Yeah.
Like things are still getting done. You're just using different tools at your disposal to get them done. You know, it's kind of like the whole work smarter, not harder type thing, right?
Exactly. All for it. Okay.
And then, you know, like while I may like be the one working, right? You do the operations behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? You keep things organized and on point. Okay. So it's like, you know, you're the quiet voice that people would never see that's, you know, quietly keeping everything looking and running like it should. So yeah, I mean, I guess with that being said, I would agree that it's a, you know, what we have is like a hybrid, you know, situation when it comes to, you know, gender roles. It's like traditional gender roles with modern tactics, and it works.
Yes. Yes.
But I guess that kind of goes a little bit into, I think I want to go back to your earlier point about routines and systems and Southern family roots and how that kind of ties into these gender roles. Because, you know, definitely when we started, we were kind of, you know, I mean, the house was just kind of chaotic trying to adjust to a new baby and adjust to remote work.
Not chaotic, though.
You know, like, I'm working on my laptop over here trying to do a call. You working on your laptop over there trying to do a call. We got a baby crying. And then,
it was, oh gosh.
You know, then we switched to like, you know, okay, now I'm just working, but you know, I'm still in the, you know, still hear the baby crying, still doing it, still doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, what are some of the routines and systems that you have, I guess, that you rely on now that have improved the way in which our family functions? Like, can you explain that? Because, you know, a lot of our friends have asked that, right? You know, we've kind of like helped, you know, close friends, like, you know, come up with some things that could help make a household run a little bit smoother when you have a family. But for our listeners, could you share like some of these strategies?
Yeah, I think you mean in terms of like parenthood or just general running the house?
Both.
Okay. Well, parenthood, I'll say, like we say, obviously kids, they love routine. They're like, you okay with that? They love routine. They love systems. And so like, for example, like, you know, waking up at a certain time, like consistently, like 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m., getting their breakfast. They know they come downstairs, they know it's breakfast time. They know that, you know, then it's playtime or, you know, doing some activity time. As far as like lunch and stuff, like preparing the meals in advance. Don't be afraid to get some air fryers. We have two air fryers that work overtime, okay?
Like, two air fryers. Listen, one of our air fryers whistles now because it whistles.
We probably need another one. Like, it needs to be paid. But yeah, our air fryers, love them. But yeah, I think just like prepping the boys' foods, like just for mealtime, you know, I think we it can be stressful cooking for kids. You know, just like thinking about yourself and thinking about the kids, especially because they're so picky. So just like seasoning the chicken, putting it away, and like when it's mealtime, pop them in. Like it's ready to go in the air fryer, right? It takes 20 minutes, chicken. Two potato tots takes 10 minutes. But it's like there's the easy things that you don't have to like stress yourself out about like every single day. And then just like having their bedtime at 7:30, you know, just like bedtime, read a book, then bedtime. It just like certain things I feel like it's kind of standard during the week. When Bravo's going to school now, he's 3, so he's in school. But yeah, I mean, I think that's as far as like the kids. It's like, I mean, they're older, so it's a little bit more predictable, I think, which helps. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of like how we run the kids, at least. And I think, you know, sprinkling, you know, like outdoor activities here and there. But that's cold AF right now. But
what are some of the ways in which you've developed a routine for you, for us, for the businesses that we run and grow?
So for the businesses, you know, like I said before, operations is kind of my thing. So, well, it is my thing. So, like for like Beatty Enterprises, like, you know, the consulting firm, you know, our other business, like I create an Excel spreadsheet, like constantly like on you, like, hey, here's like, what did you check off? You know, I print it out, I update it. Like, here's the list for today or this week. Go through it. He'll, you know, you'll check things off, give it back to me. I'll update it, take things off, add new things on. But it's like staying on top of you to make sure things are done, you know, setting, you know, running your calendar, making sure meetings are getting scheduled, all that kind of stuff. It's like everything operations, like everyone's happy. Things are running smooth. So that's like on the business front, I think. And I think on the personal home front, just like from myself in particular, like I have really gotten into health and wellness. And I think the older you get, like maybe it's naturally you just, and we're more aware and you just see that everything causes cancer, so you're just like more, you're hyper aware now of just like all this just bad stuff being just given to us every day. It's like you can't run away from it if you wanted to, it feels like. But just being more proactive, trying to make better decisions every day with what we're all eating, like staying on top of the family's health. And I will, you know, I get up every other day, I go to the gym. When Bravo's in school, I'll take our youngest Apollo with me because of the, you know, a play area. So just like, so he's having fun, he's out the house and I'm getting my health and workout in. You know, before I leave, I make sure your calendar, like, you know what you're doing for the day. And then, you know, kind of come back and things progress as they do. But I think just kind of like operations on all fronts, like everyone's getting what they need. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. I mean, 100% agree. I think the routines have been extremely helpful for me. Because it gives a level of predictability to each day, you know, mine is like, okay, there's certain things you can't predict. Like if a kid gets sick or, you know, someone's having a nightmare and you, maybe you've gotten up 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night, take someone to pee or whatever, you know,
true story. But
those things aside, you have a certain level of predictability. You know, you can wake up at 5, you can drink your coffee, you can talk to your spouse, or you can read a book, or you can go to the gym. Then by 6, you know, one kid's going to school, the other one's waking up at 7. You know that you know what they're having for breakfast. Because as Ebony said, we have very strict diets with what we eat because you know, everything causes cancer. That is our family motto. We have the grocery list each week is the same, and I think that we should probably do an episode on that. So I won't dive too deep on what it is we eat and how it is we shop, because I think that it probably warrants its own episode.
Seriously.
But then from there, yeah, like, you know, I make it a point. I try to get a workout in early before I start working. And then, you know, Ebony makes sure that I'm straight with the business. And then she goes off and then, you know, she's working out and she's taking care of our son Apollo while the other one's at school. And she's coming back to check in and make sure everything is good. Getting the other one from school, and you know, you look up and you know, it's time for dinner, and dinner is not stressful because guess what? We already had a refrigerator full of cleaned meat that is seasoned with vegetables that are ready to go that can be cooked in 10 to 15 minutes. You know, like our household runs like
clockwork,
and clockwork. It wasn't always like that, but like Ebony said,
Your lovely aunt Titi.
Yeah, she kind of she gives credit to like my Southern family roots, because a couple years ago when we were, I guess, moving back to Maryland from, I think we were visiting Maryland from California, and my aunt offered to come stay with us for a few weeks to kind of give us some insights on how to build a household suitable for an infant. And she flew up from Florida to Maryland and kind of just moved around with us, been with us ever since, and kind of showed us all these things, the importance of just planning, like know what you're going to eat next week, this week, grocery shop for it, clean it, season it, get it prepared, buy the Tupperware you need to make sure it's in the fridge, have extra medicine, have this, have that, like know what you need before you need it.
Yes.
Prepare things that you need before you need to prepare it. Like it's really just not waiting to the last minute to do something. And once you, make that a habit, you become obsessed with preparation. You realize like you're never caught off guard. And that's been a tremendous thing for us. And I even apply that to my business. It's not even just, it's not even just home stuff. I invested money last year in a lot of marketing for the business, because I was like, I think 2024, we're going to grow. And you know what? That's exactly what has happened. We've grown as a result of,
yes,
Glory. Me just saying, we're going to need this next year, so I'm going to just do it now. Mm-hmm. So it's a mantra for, I think, wherever you are in life, but definitely if you're growing a family. So one of the things I wanted to ask you too is, you think about, so growing together or growing apart, right? Mm-hmm. We've grown together. We made a conscious decision to not grow apart. You're not the same person. I'm not the same person. I'm curious, and I hope our listeners are curious too. What are some of the qualities that you appreciate the most about me now that maybe you didn't appreciate about me earlier on, or maybe I didn't have, or were less visible?
So qualities that you have now that were maybe less visible.
Yeah, or less important. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll say this too. Some things you don't realize, you don't even have to pull out until you need to pull it out. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you don't, maybe some things that you had in your back pocket, you didn't need until you had kids. So, cause you realize, oh shoot. Like, so I think in that aspect, just like, being just an amazing dad, an amazing father, amazing, husband. Like, I feel like those things have been like consistent. Well, obviously dad is more newer, but I feel like you've always been, just very into what I need, always thinking about me, thinking about the boys, and every decision that you make, and even how you operate in the, in the world when you're out and about running these streets. But seriously, you're always,
you come home.
But, but for real, like, I feel like you're always, thinking about us.
I love you.
And, but just being a hard worker, like, because times can be, amazing, and sometimes things can be like, all right, we gotta just like buckle down. But I think like you've always been consistent, like you're not afraid to like figure out what we gotta do, what moves we need to make, just like how to get to the next level. Like you've always kind of been like a hustler, like get out the mud.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Hey.
I'm a hustler, baby.
I just think you've always been just like a well-rounded person, and that's why I said yes.
Wow.
But yeah.
I appreciate that.
I don't think there's anything that like caught me by surprise. I mean, I feel like you've never changed, never like you've been this way since I met you. I think something's just got heightened, or you've had to do a little bit more of something. Like I've always seen you as a leader, but I think now that you're a husband and a father, it's like 10 times. It's like 10x. What does Grant Cardone say? 10x.
Grant Cardone, baby.
Everything's like super heightened, right?
Yeah.
But it's never not been there.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. And I appreciate you saying all those nice things. You know, I didn't ask the question to prop myself up, but I was genuinely curious because, you know, just when we, I mean, maybe I did just want to be boosted a little bit. And I'm just saying, no, but you know, just like when we started, man, we started, we were single. I was, we weren't single. We was engaged, but like we didn't have kids, you know, like life was a lot simpler then, you know, and, I don't feel like the same person before, so I was just curious. And then, you know, for me, if you would ask me that exact same question about you, you know, I would say a lot of the similar things, you know, like you have not switched up. You are the same person I met, which is someone who knows how to talk to me, someone who knows how to pray for me. Yes. In fact, you know, when you did the 31 days of prayer for, I mean, like for me, oh my God.
And I said it to my friends. I'm like, pray for your husbands. Okay.
You know, like, I mean, things that you all, you know, that qualities you already had, you know, the person you already were is just like times 10. And, you know, just seeing you be a mom and seeing you care for our boys in the way in which you do. Mm-hmm. Just with so much love and patience and kindness and thoughtfulness, and to be the finest mama at the school, and to just everywhere we go, like everybody wanna be your next baby daddy.
Oh, what is wrong with you? No, thank you.
To just snap back the way. No, but I mean,
this one left fast.
It did. I mean, like, you're literally everything a man could ever want. I mean, like, you're still, like, you know, you're young, you're youthful. Like, you didn't become a mom and just change. Like, you still, like, find pleasure in the things you found pleasure in before, which allows me a lot of times to slow down and remember to, like, choose joy, choose happiness, and to find things that make me happy. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, like other qualities, I think that kind of, you know, came under the limelight a whole lot more that maybe were less apparent when we were dating or engaged and we were bogged down by work is like, I just love the way you run a household. I really do. Like, especially now. I love how, you know, 5-6 in the morning, you know, depending on the day, like you going down, you know, you're getting your workout in on the Peloton, you're coming upstairs, you're sweating, and we're having a conversation. We're talking about our goals and dreams, and you're getting the baby ready, making sure my calendar's straight, you know, making sure we're all fed, like we got what we need, like you're doing this, you're doing that, like all the things that need to get done. Like I don't have to worry about it because I know that I have a capable partner that can pick up the slack and, you know, with anything that I can't do. Like with you by my side, like nothing gets left undone. And with the life that we've built, you know, we chose a life of resistance after we got married. You know, we chose to take a path that was very difficult. You know,
it looks hard. Let's go down there. What's that over there?
Yeah. You know, we like challenges, you know, like we like challenges. We like, you know, because if you're not growing, you're dying. We just like to grow. And, you know, I'm like, I got somebody with me that's committed to growth. You know, you just push me and motivate me. And that means a lot. You don't let me just sit around and bask in whatever small successes I've had. You're like, okay, congratulations. Next one. Let's go. So I really appreciate it about you. Yeah.
I appreciate it, but I will take a double dose of patience because these boys.
Yeah. That's how I knew how hard parenthood was.
Do some more of that. They'd be testing it. I'd be like, my patience is on the thin line.
When you start yelling, I think having boys is what showed me how difficult parenthood really is because you have your moments. So I'm like, oh, there's that black mama coming out. And for a person like you to get in that moment, you have to really be perturbed.
Yeah.
And only they will do it to you. They will test you.
That whole gentle parenting thing, the whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
To prepare who? Where? Not these kids.
We
not
tried today. It. We tried it.
Not this generation.
Nah. Nah, nah. I mean, I think I learned maybe like a year ago, like spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, that's not to say I like beat my kids, but like I don't.
No, but there's it's third parenting. You got, yeah, you know, you like, have to. I mean, look at these kids nowadays. You think, no, thank you.
No,
like not to be shady, but no, thank you. Like no. They need to be disciplined, successful.
My kids smart. Will not be soft. My kids will not be troublemakers. My kids will be smart. They'll be thoughtful. They'll be gentlemen. They'll be hardworking. They'll have thick skin. And when you think about those qualities, you don't get them from a soft life. Like, it takes resistance to build that type of muscle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, the parenting style that you and I have. We realize in order to build strong kids, you got to put a little bit of weight on top of them. You know?
Yeah. If we get too soft, I mean, they will run over you, run over you. Then you'll be looking up wondering what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be a CVS stealing all the makeup.
Oh gosh, that's a whole nother. That's a rant. Let's not go down that rabbit hole I see it teetering, and I'm gonna. I'm gonna pull us out of the hole.
Okay.
That we're dancing around.
but that would not be my boys. You know, I'm raising boys that you will want your daughters to marry. You know, yes. And that is hard work, but I'm built for it. Mm-hmm. When they get mm-hmm. older, we'll mm-hmm. all be glad mm-hmm. that we took this approach. But I wanted to, I think we've covered a pretty good amount for our first time back, just talking a little bit about what kept us away, what brought us back. And I want to talk a little bit about like where we're going, what we mm-hmm. hope to accomplish with the podcast moving forward. And I guess also with our lives and it kind of the two and two probably can go together because, you know, our podcast is largely about our own journey through life. So give me an idea of, you know, some of the goals that you have for this year. And maybe, I mean, you turn to 35 this year, maybe this year or the next 5 years, and what you hope your life can look like. And then, and that can kind of sort of tie in to the direction in which we like to engage with our listeners, you know, on the podcast.
So I feel like, you know, definitely on the health and wealth piece, just like making that a lifestyle. So I think you'll see maybe on my Instagram personally, but like you'll just like see a lot of that. And
I mean, it's already been a lifestyle for you. I think it's just now you're starting to show it, right?
Yeah, now I'm starting to show. Yeah, I guess well, I'll say show that. It like, more. Yeah, I think, you know, basically.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, you know, you've been doing the work. You just have been reluctant to show it.
To show it, yeah. It's just, it's tough putting yourself out there. And I think that's, you know, that's the piece, but that's a whole nother segment as well. Just like doing it, F it, just do it. But, yeah. But yeah, I think like, besides health, like wealth building, you know, generational wealth, like
yeah.
getting into that, just getting into, just like marriage and growth and, you know, I think wealth building, there's a lot to unpack under that you could probably speak better to just in terms of like the businesses and all that stuff. But, I think those are kind of like the three main buckets, just like, well, three and a half, like parenthood, marriage, wealth building, health.
Yeah. I think mine are similar in that, you know, I definitely am more cognizant of health now after going through a pandemic where, you know, you break bones, you know, like breaking an ankle twice.
That's a weird story.
Yeah, that's another story. And then injuring the other foot, not being able to walk on that for 4 months, and then having tennis elbow for 5 months, and you can't hold a cell phone in that hand, and
Going through it.
And then there's all the other stuff, you know, you're gaining weight, doing this, doing that, like, and, you know, like, you develop, you know, some people, but I was definitely one of those people. I spent so much time, you know, I spent my hibernation, my lockdown during COVID really focused more on work and building an empire than taking care of myself and I built an empire. I'm proud of where we are business wise and I'm proud of where we're going, but you know, the physical definitely suffered. And now I'm like, you know what? None of that matters if you're not here to enjoy it, right? Which is, I think, a common theme with a lot of men. You know, most of the men in my life, we talk all the time about that. We spend so much time working that we neglect our health. And at the end of the day, we got to be around for our family. So, you know, really putting that front and center a little bit more this year, and happy to have a wife that's so good at it because she's going to get me where I need to be.
Yeah, we need you around.
But beyond that, also just realizing that what I thought I could achieve in business before is really 10 to 100 times that. Like, I'm no longer thinking small. I'm thinking, like, beyond what I thought was possible and adding 10 more to that. Like, I'm not thinking small. I'm thinking huge. Nothing is out of reach. And I've been really plotting a course on how I can, you know, take dividends from one business to put into another business, to put into another mm-hmm. business, to put into another business, and, you know, to look up. And, you know, I hope to one day be a billionaire. I didn't think I would get to the point in where I am now. And, you know, what I realize is, like, it's really not as hard as people make it out to be. If you plan, if you work hard, and if you make smart decisions with your money. You know, we had a really good year a couple years ago, excellent year, and spent a lot of time first class travel, designer this, designer that, you know, just living how we want to live. And it was great, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, here I am 2 years later, and I'm like, okay, thank God, like, we didn't be in a situation where we lost everything. Because, you know, that you know, like, if we would have made different decisions, then we would probably be, like, twice as far off now. So just realizing, you know, how to make better decisions and how to grow a business, it really means, you know, making different decisions with your resources. And I think a lot of people who grow up poor, you know, the first little bit of money they make, they gonna buy some rims. You know, like, I didn't buy no rims. You know, if I wasn't a father, I probably would have bought a Dunk with some rims because I always wanted one. But you know, what I do instead? Like, you know, might have got a Range Rover. You know, I might have done a bunch of other stuff I shouldn't have done. But now I think what I'm really focused on is generational wealth, and, you know, putting all of my time and all of my resources into something that will last. I want my picture and my wife's picture to be in the living room of my great, 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 great grandchildren, because they'll know that they're living the way that they live because of the sacrifices that we made and the decisions that we made, you know?
Right.
So that's essentially where we're at. And then, you know, beyond that, just really being the best father and the best husband I can be, and giving back to the community that gave so much to me back home in St. Augustine, Florida, doing everything that I can to ensure that, you know, whatever God gives me, I can sow back into, you know, my community there and any other community that I live in. And I'm really excited about those things too, because, you know, the giving part, I think, is the most exciting part about all of this, because I think that that's why God gives you resources and gifts in the first place, to sow back into his kingdom. That's why, you know, he gives you struggle so that you'll have a testimony. He gives you gifts so that you can sow into the kingdom. And I'm thankful for both. So it's really excited about you know, the life that we're building. And I'm excited about where we're going to take this podcast, because we're going to keep y'all apprised of our journey and everything that we're doing every step of the way. We got a lot of big things planned on the business front. You know, a lot of big things.
Yes.
We got a lot of big things planned on the family front, on the individual front. You know, we got things that we're working on together. We got things that we're working on separately. We got things that we're setting our kids up for. We got moves that we plan on making. It's going to be really, really exciting. And I hope that our journey can be inspiring to you.
Yeah.
So that feels like, I guess that kind of feels like a good, clean place to wrap up.
I think that was a great, you know, a great wrap up and a great summary.
All right. So for those of you who don't follow us on Instagram, you know, please go to our Instagram page. It's called at It's Cuffing Season. I think that's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At It's Cuffing Season on Instagram. Give us a follow. Share with your friends. Send us messages about things you'd like us to cover. You know, again, Ebony and I, we're entrepreneurs. We're parents. We've been married for 5 years. You know, we're philanthropists, you know, anything within those areas. So we'd love to chat with you about. We're also licensed financial professionals in the state of California, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, you know, so we do sit down and talk to some folks about how to plan for the generations for those who are interested. But yeah, that's all we're about. So you know, and Matt, why don't you go ahead and give them your personal Instagram too, so for those who are interested in fitness and health and wellness, they can follow you for tips on how to reach their fitness, health, and wellness goals.
Yeah, so it's at Cali, C-A-L-I, X-Bomb, B-O-M-B. Cali, X-Bomb, Cali Bomb.
Yeah, and mine is just Rontel underscore Beatty. I don't post as much as I'd like. Follow me if you want to.
Want to see something? Just follow me.
Just follow me. Follow me. When I post, it's meaningful.
When I post, you're going to want to see it.
But that's all I got. Thank y'all for joining. Look forward to having y'all for the next one. Peace.
Peace.